Podtacular episode 260, post Halo Fest wrap up, recorded live from Halo Fest for April 28th, 2011.
Guys, and welcome to a very special episode of Podtacular. This is Duststorm, and we are broadcasting live right now from Halo Fest 2011. And we have, let's see, 8 people right now. And I'm going to go ahead and go around the table, starting over here. Go ahead and introduce yourself and what community you're from.
Yeah, I'm Cal. I'm from GriffBallHub.com.
I'm Gusheva. I'm also from GriffBallHub.com.
If you want.
I'm the Tyrant. I am the founder of the Team Mythic community.
Apparently,
I am.
I'm Laird. I'm from primarily HBO and Red vs. Blue. And I guess RVB Can West is also as well.
I am Grimbrother 4, and I am from halo.bungie.org.
I am Redemption, and I am not an alcoholic.
I am.
That's debatable. I am Grimbrother 1 from HBO, the site, not the TV station. We're the good one.
I'm jealous of you.
We don't have to pay to see you guys.
The one you don't have to pay for.
Not yet.
Well, it depends on who you ask.
You have to pay to get to it.
It depends on what you want, actually.
Oh. Here comes Grumble if you want him.
Man.
You pay afterwards.
Yeah. It's a free to play, but it's just a microtransaction based. Huh? It's per post. It's the only way we keep it going.
Someone else go. I have to manage this podcast here. Okay, so.
I hope you edit.
Yeah, we edit.
Why is mute still on?
Wonder so, live.
All right.
Yes, one of the wonders of doing things live is it's totally unscripted, and I don't have a chance to
mute. Script it?
Well, there is a mute, but it's like dead silence, whatever. So I think for the most part, Halo Fest was pretty much built for the fans, for the communities, and everything. So I want to go ahead and kind of address what everyone thought was their best part of Halo Fest. And go ahead and jump in.
Personally, I thought it was great to put some names to faces and, you know, just to catch up with everyone again and meet everybody.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
There's just a lot of people here. And you know people online. You've talked with them in some way or form, whether it's over YouTube, whether you're playing in matchmaking over Xbox Live. And it's just interesting to see all the people come here and really they're actual people. They're not digitally fed to you from some... like voiceover or whatnot.
Well, that's the thing too. The whole thing about it was the people. I mean, being surrounded by the stuff is awesome, but it still kind of feels like the stuff when you put the people in it. The community is to me what set the Halo universe and the Halo franchise apart. You know, in the first place. And so it's that, you know, it's when you fill it, you've got like kind of like this skeletal structure of all of the stations you can play the games at and all of the videos and all the neat little props and everything. But it's not until you fill it with the community that has made this franchise over the past decade that Halo Fest itself really took on a life of its own and kind of came into its own.
I think the Halo community panel really drove that point. And here you have on stage some of the most prolific and active members of the Halo community. And what I really enjoyed is that not one of the members on that panel plays Halo with a gun. Like, none of their sites have to do with actually playing the game as it was created. We've all taken it and done our own separate things with it, and I think that's what's so great about Halo is that it allows you to just expand the universe to include any and everything you want.
Yeah, people weren't chosen for the panel because they're great with headshots.
Oh, thank God.
What do you mean?
Is that why I wasn't allowed?
But
I guess so.
Too good.
The reason I came was, I love Halo, but I literally met everyone at this table here at this convention, and that's the reason I came, for the people, from all the different facets of all the different Halo communities. We're all here in one place to hang out and get to know each other.
It should be more often than every 10 years, kind of.
Maybe like an annualized thing.
Yeah, maybe annual.
See, I would not be opposed to that.
I don't know. I'm actually going to step in and be the odd voice out on that one. I think that it was made almost all the better by it having. I guess it's the first time for it, but I almost feel like if it was annually, it would lose in a way that stigma, that kind of like once in a lifetime feeling. Maybe not one every 10 years, because then if you missed it, that's awful.
Yeah, that's
maybe
right.
maybe every five,
because that gives you at least a chance to have at least one, if not maybe, depending on the development cycle, two games in between, which allows you to increase your content. Plus, because, you know, if you were going to have it annually, what more stuff, you know, are you really going to add to the kind of tangible side to it?
Well, how about every time they, you know, release a new Halo game or about to release a new Halo game?
Yeah, that's certainly a possibility as well.
So what you're saying is we could see Halo Fest next year, because there's another Halo game next year.
There's a lot of successful conventions that don't rely on release dates of things, like Dragon Con's next week.
Yeah, and I've always wanted to go to that.
An outrageous convention. And there's never anything really new, except for new costumes that people wear out there, or new TV shows or sci-fi. But that doesn't really revolve around any sort of release schedule.
Right.
It's massively successful.
I mean, I've been to several PAXs. This is actually my fourth PAX. And I'm spoiled from here on out, because this PAX, because of Halo Fest, has been exponentially better than any of the other ones. I've literally been to the convention floor in main PAX maybe two or three times.
Yeah, I feel bad like saying that I actually came to PAX.
Yeah, I feel
yeah.
I think I've been to 1.23 PAXs now. And I've been to what I feel like for Halo Fest.
The only place I've been to outside of Halo Fest so far is the RT booth.
Mm-hmm. And which almost doesn't
really
count.
Yeah, it's not yeah. really part of the PAX, because everything else is on the show floor, and that's basically like a little
they
shopping
center. They stuck
them
way up on the sixth floor.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And it is a testament to, I think, the draw of Halo for not just the common fan, but specifically for each of us, because, I mean, I did get a chance to go on the floor, and it's a great show. It is PAX. It's always PAX, and they put on a dynamic show, but even for all of the great stuff that was out there, like a lemming, I was just like drawn back to this building.
And over the cliff.
Yeah, over the cliff or over the balcony of the Halo 4 panel.
That's right.
I think a lot of that has to do with the more communal and smaller nature of Halo Fest, because a couple of times I've been to the convention floor, I just feel like an ant, and then I'm being squished everywhere, and it takes 2 hours to get to any kind of event, and then like, this is really stupid. PAX is too big for itself. Like the space can be big enough. When you've got 70,000 people, and they're all trying to play Skyrim at the exact same time. Mm-hmm. You know, the only reason we even got to play was because we had media badges and we got in an hour early. Like, literally, it is too big for its britches. It's going to fold in over on itself. It's not. It almost isn't even fun anymore. Because you have to plan your day of, like, okay, there's, like, two things I want to do, and I'm going to go stand in line for 4 hours for each of them.
Right.
And it's like Disneyland on a crowded day. You can do, like, one thing.
Yeah.
Whereas
right.
Halo Fest, you can go in and... You know, you can just experience everything. Yeah, you had to wait in a line, but your wait's like 10 minutes to play a game. And while you're doing that, there's so much else going on that it's like you're really an active part of it, as opposed to just something being shoved into a line.
Yeah, and it's different, too, because at PAX, you have 10 hours a day that the show floor is open, and you can spend 2 to 3 hours waiting to play Skyrim, or you can come over here where there's just so much going on every single minute. I mean, even if you're waiting in line, you can still hear the panels over the loudspeaker.
So you could go to 3 life-changing panels in the mm-hmm. time it took for you to go through the you know the line at for Mass Effect 3
mm-hmm.
which is a great, you know, I'm really looking forward to that game and still didn't want to wait in the line.
Well, I mean, the fact that there were two identical Skyrim panels, and like media couldn't even get into them because they were so full.
They had people lined up for 3 hours. They still couldn't fit in because they were up to capacity.
You should never have to wait in a line for 3 hours. It's like Space Mountain when it opened to Disneyland. Like, that's ridiculous.
In like the 1800s, yes. No, I'm just kidding.
are you sure you're not channeling Claude there a little bit?
Am I? I could be.
A spirit. Like,
oh no!
I'm digging the Gramps look,
and
man. It's awesome.
Is filling in. So. Yeah.
Well, are you feeling tall right about now, Gramps?
No, that's actually the problem. Is I will never come up to his nipples.
Most of us won't.
Yeah, I know. I mean, so many people try to come up to his nipples, but
there's a rumor that he played Nemesis in Resident Evil.
Yeah.
No, but you're right. Every time I go over to the PAX floor, I'd be wondering, what am I missing over back at Halo Fest?
Exactly, yeah.
And I'd be, you know, zombie right back over here.
So here's a question I'll throw it to all you guys. If there was another Halo Fest, you know, what would you guys want to see, you know, next year that they could possibly...
Well, I'll tell you right now, what I would love to see is more the installation type of thing. And it may be because I like the real world props and costumes and stuff. Building a corner of a room up like one of the multiplayer levels. Not the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
But like a corner of it.
Like Legends of the Hidden Temple, but in Halo. So you could like run through the obstacle course and like
energy sword swinging out of the door.
Oh, man.
And you gotta do a barrel roll and a somersault.
Yeah, you have to aim. Yeah.
I mean, the guy knows the
There'll be an armor ability challenge.
So. And what they gotta do is, if you do it, you know, they'll have special, the announcer throwing down some special stuff, like there to live, you know, saying your name kind
really
of deal.
Really interactive
like
that. Interactive, not just in terms of playing the game, but interactive with a lot of other stuff.
You could do the whole floor just as the as Blood Gulch.
Think what they should do is
a knee base on one side, a base on the other, and do like the old school, like, you know, because the fewer polygons, the easier it is to turn a big boxy room into it.
I think that the Annex was a great building. I think next year, or whatever, there's ever one in the future, we should have all three floors just to ourselves.
Yeah.
Great. You know, they could have the board games on the bottom where they had Dungeons & Dragons this year. You know, they could have meeting rooms for the rest of us that want to chill and play Halo in, like, all the rooms, like, across and, like, the room we're in. And, you know, Halo Fest.
Screw bathrooms, too, actually. Yeah. I mean, I really found them completely
bathrooms.
Useless.
No, I demand to be able to play while I'm in the bathroom.
There. Okay.
Compromise.
And that is why there is a woman on the panel.
Halo Fruit Ninja Connect. We need those in front of us.
I'll take it a step further. I already asked Frankie if it was DLC.
When I get to be president, I will rename the Grand Canyon Blood Gulch.
As the president of Arizona, I approve.
Yes.
I'm down for how about a Spartan 2 ropes course, a little ring the bell action.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Nice.
Special dinner, if you win.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's right. If you get there, you're invited to the special turkey dinner afterwards.
You're the turkey.
And they take you in a pelican.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like the back of a pelican come out of the wall, or a crash pelican or something.
Yeah, there you go.
A real pelican.
But
that's probably bigger than the building. Think big.
While we're making this annual.
I would love to see a Griffball tournament.
Yep.
But then again,
either real life.
Yes, real life. So. You know, if they play Quidditch in real life, they can do Griffball.
They can do Griffball. Yeah. Bright-horned armor and have people running to beat me with like foam hammers and swords. I think that would be a lot of fun. Or we could just, you know, do the actual.
Or use the real hammer in Bungie
Studios. Sponsorship waiting to happen.
Right. Get Jerome. I don't think he'll let go of it though.
Just in case really you're wondering, Griffballhub.com does not have any sponsors. So if you would like to sponsor a tournament,
Nerf.
Let me know.
I'm telling you, Nerf sponsorship waiting to happen. Officially licensed
by Halo.
Griffball props. Everything. Bomb, hammer, sword.
No, I want my Nerf.
I want to see a bomb prop.
My Nerf pistol. My Nerf Halo 1 pistol. Nah. That's what I want.
There you go.
I can see a bomb prop being a problem. Bring it on a plane? What is it? Oh, it's just
that's when you ship it.
It's a very armored volleyball.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I spent a lot of money at the Halo store, but I thought the store was pretty small.
Yeah,
there's so much other stuff, books and comics and stuff that's not necessarily up there.
There's a lot of stuff I was expecting to see in the store that just wasn't there. Like, there's so many shirts out there.
But you can buy those online. Like,
yeah.
I felt like a lot of the stuff in there, I hadn't
There's some shirts that I would have expected to see there because you can't find them online.
Yeah, until now.
But the tough thing on a planning end, which I understand, is there's no easy way to predict. The more things that you have that you come, if you're selling stuff, that's the more things you have to try to predict whether or not it will sell well or not. And so, yeah. Okay. You know, they're cute. I do like
them. I got a bunch.
I bought three.
I have two of them.
Yeah. Three.
I have two.
Anybody have more than three?
I got five.
I was forced to buy one.
Five.
Yeah.
But those are for the auction and a couple.
Okay.
And a couple for some girls, so I technically had
eight.
I had eight.
That is.
Grunt action.
Let me know how that works out.
You bring a girl down fleshy, that'll.
Why do you think there was three?
Yeah, that's right. Inappropriate fruit nipple joke, anybody? Oh, man. That's good. That's a grand birthday party. Grand birthday suit.
A quick late introduction. Adam Grumbo from the 405th. He's been spouting in here. He's the one that makes all the Halo props that you guys have seen.
Yes, yeah. All of them.
Been absolutely all loving myself. It.
And actually, we're actually showing some of them to you right now, but it's a podcast and you can't see them. So.
Yeah, this is really, really cool.
Including that really awesome bitchin' suit that you guys brought out for the Halo 4 panel.
Oh, yeah,
that
was awesome. Everybody at Blue Room Studios worked their butts off trying to get the Halo 4 suit.
They worked their codpiece off too, apparently.
Yeah, no codpiece. It's cozy.
We've got a problem with that. And by we, I mean the female gamers.
There should be a codpiece, or should be bigger.
We are pro codpiece.
Maybe that's something in the armory.
See, Veronica's right there. She's saying, yeah, pro codpiece.
Upgraded.
Can has codpiece.
Spartan bikini bottom.
I think we're back in here. Bring her back in. We're talking some new line of merchandise.
Yes. With a codpiece by themselves.
And home pregnancy tests.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow. Now we're going
in an unexpected direction, man.
Well, it's not, right?
So.
Remember, kids do listen to this podcast.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Or they try to. So, throughout the event,
he's worried about the kids listening to the podcast. You heard them on Xbox Live, right?
You're worried now?
Slur.
That is quite true.
I will not deny. My mom did not do that.
So, in terms of the floor, that we had about four or five different PlayStations. We had the Halo Reach characters up around the place.
Anyone else have a problem with calling them PlayStations?
Yeah, how about
GameStations? Yeah. I did. Yeah. Jess told me like a week ago we had like 50 PlayStations. I'm like, what?
Test. You're allowed to say that at Microsoft? Test stations.
Gaming stations.
Yes, yeah. Gaming stations.
On like a dare, I was going to wear an Apple shirt here, but no. Bringing an iPhone was enough.
Yeah. I feel bad having my iPhone in here.
I got Android.
Nobody's perfect.
Get out.
Sorry. Flip phone. What's up?
Yeah. There you go.
So
I got a Motorola 520.
Hey, how'd you know?
So aside from the panels, we'll get into that in a little bit. But aside from the panels, what do you think was probably the biggest attraction on the floor? I mean, we had the Mega Bloks, we had the PlayStations, we had the store, we had
the store,
the Warthog, before the Warthog.
See, I would probably say the title update play gaming stations, because I know the first couple days they didn't have them, so people were like lining up to be able to play them on that specific platform.
Yeah, that was a big deal. That was always full.
It was always never empty.
They did.
The
but
Halo
they
Universe or Halo Universe one when Steve Downs and the rest of the crew were there, that was packed. I mean,
that was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Like, I mean, I didn't think it would get that packed,
that
and then that was like, poof, you know, right up to the back wall. People were sitting in the aisles.
Okay,
sorry. That's my fault.
As true as it is,
he had a good train of thought going on.
The only one that had armed guards was the Warthog.
Yeah.
There were Spartans and ODSTs there 24/7.
I wouldn't mess with them.
I'm always up for more ODSTs. That's my vote, just in case anybody's listening.
Yeah.
That's kind of the mix between the Spartan and the human level, right?
Is the official Tyrant helmet, by the way. ODST.
Nice.
I am down with the Tyrant.
And I'll another shout out to like the 405th guys. I mean, like that the mobile ambiance basically that the Spartans and all those suits and everything provided was absolutely awesome. I was like pulling 405th people out of any line and just moving them to the front with feigned authority. And
there was a pretty good showing this year. I mean, considering the fact that we only had how many months was Halo announced or Halo Fest announced?
Well, let's see, Goose. How many months ago did you and I start planning a Halo Fest? And and David and Allison look at us like, I wouldn't spend too much time and energy.
I heard that same thing too when they came to us and asked us
to help. Back at PAX East, there was a community dinner, and Grim was there, and I was there, and a couple other Halo community members were there. And Grim's like, hey, I got this really great idea. And so David Ellis and Allison are sitting there, and we're like, okay.
In case anyone's listening, Halo Fest was my idea. Goose check it.
Whoa. She talked to me about it at the Reach launch party, so.
But no one heard that. Goose was there to witness my
I attended.
What happened is Grim was like, hey, you know, what would be really cool if we could, like, give Halo a 10-year birthday party? Could we start, like, organizing something like that? And David and Allison are like, you know, that's a good idea. Why don't you look into that, and you tell us what you think.
And they farmed us too. They were like, oh, well, what would you have at something?
They just like
this sort of theoretical event,
festival
type thing that you would have.
They just kicked our butts with that. It was so funny when it came out. I was like, hey!
Speaking of Dave,
man!
When did you get your consultation?
You know, I Kevin, Mr. Sci-Fi, and I. Mr. Sci-Fi and I, Kevin Hurd and I were talking, and we both had thought about it, and we're talking. All of those ring-shaped signs that were over every station, I always wanted to know why the side was not filled with continents. Just an extra layer there, you know.
They were getting paid by the hour.
Yeah, so why wasn't it in there?
That was the hour that they had to drop.
Yeah, apparently. I guess if you had to drop something, the inside of the signs is
it was
not
cut
a bad
from
thing
the project
to
due to time.
So what are you guys' opinions of the title update since you mentioned it?
I liked No Bloom. I know a lot of people are raging about that, but you give them bloom, they rage. Take away bloom, they rage. I'm sensing a trend here.
Something about flowers.
Rage.
I was not a fan of the pistol. Like, I could see that being a campaign being really, really fun because it's overpowered.
No, it
but
wasn't.
When I'm running around.
Yeah, I'm down with that. It was a pistol horror.
Yeah.
But in the multiplayer, though, if I'm on a map and there's I take the time and energy to put that many different weapons in the map, what's the point?
Because nobody goes for any weapons.
So if I can't do anything, it's the DMR. It even gets rockets, like, if they catch it first.
Well, do you think it maybe leads to a little more teamwork as far as
I think it leads to people using one weapon instead of. I've always been a really big fan of using all the weapons well.
Oh, I agree.
That's the point, you know.
And that's a big part of Halo is using that variety and that those palettes
and
those differences.
And so if everybody's running around with one weapon, I'm like, was kind of
but
that way with
you're
the
saying DMR. You're
but it's not like
you could beat the DMR with another weapon. I feel like you can't. If you have someone who's trained to use the pistol, you can't beat them. Like, you can't.
True.
Yeah, even if they're on the shot.
I mean, but they're not necessarily forcing you to use the pistol. This is just one.
No, they're allowing others to have an overpowered weapon. This is the problem.
If you don't grab the
spawn
weapon,
you're
not going to get killed.
I can use it, but I can't use it as
really, though,
as many others.
I think that is maybe where that problem comes in, is I can certainly understand why, Tyrant, why you love it, because you are a relatively modern Jesus with the pistol. And so, but, you know, it instantly becomes maybe it creates more of a divide instead of even things out because, I mean, goodness, the rockets in the wrong hands are disastrous, so it's, when you're starting out, but then, let's say with a power weapon, you at least have the chance to get that weapon out of the hands of someone powerful with it. But if it's a starting weapen, that makes it tougher.
If you want
to
compete,
as far as balance,
power weapons
goes.
Are really limited too. I mean, how many rockets do you get?
Yeah.
How many shots of laser do you get?
I'm pretty sure 20 when someone else has them. I get marshmallows.
And they're heat seeking.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they are heat seeking.
And they can go through walls. And
But other than that,
man, I have been playing with you.
I know they altered armor lock. I didn't get a chance to try that out yet, but I've heard it was much improved. Like, you're not.
It's pink now.
Really?
No. Yeah.
Well, it shoots awesome. Rainbows.
Just it first brought up a title update, and I was like, but I like the name Halo. I don't think you should change it.
No, they're just going to add a sweet subtitle.
Yeah, there you go. That's fine.
Well, listen, just to take a step back a little bit back to the weapons. I do agree with you, but, it feels like to me since there's always a button.
Your sentence to her should always be
she's talking about the versatile weapons, but to me, there is the only Halo game to ever have truly diverse weapons was Halo 1. Because starting at Halo 2, there were a lot of redundant weapons. Look at it. The carbine and the BR kind of served the same functionality. The beam rifle and the sniper rifle.
The fuel rod gun and the rocket launcher.
Exactly, but at least in Halo 1, it was a mortar weapon, whereas in
rockets don't
Halo PC.
I consider Halo 1 because that's where I started.
Yeah, that's it here, man.
I do miss that black and gold hog.
The rocket hog. Yeah. Sniped across the map.
Not the missile hog, rocket
hog. Yeah. Rocket hog is fine.
It's great. Yeah.
I mean, I can see the pistol argument. I mean, if you're good at it, obviously you're going to want to use it. And obviously I'm going to have to practice and get better at it. But I feel like, I could go for the DMR and I could try and strategize to find the Needler. But why? there's no point.
Yeah. Well, the good thing is you'd have to get good at it.
I almost feel like Halo 1 was at very least a two weapon game at times. It was shotgun or pistol.
And you could shotgun snipe with
that. Because you know, you had AR or pistol.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like you had another distance weapon really to choose from other than the sniper. I don't really count that as a power weapon. So.
Depends.
Yeah.
In my hands.
Well, but I mean, look at reach.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, if I've got a sniper rifle, the safest place to stand is right in front of the barrel.
Yeah.
So.
even with reach, though, you've got the DMR, you've got the pistol. You've got the needle rifle, which all three of them are single-shot weapons with zoom that are pretty much made for mid-range combat.
The needle rifle DMR, I think, play a good different role. And I prefer the needle rifle because I'm not as adept at, like, headshot accuracy.
Yeah.
But I know that I'm rewarded for body shots with the needle rifle.
This is true.
So I think that's a good example of two weapons helping to fill and balance out two different play styles.
I prefer the Needler too because it's got the smaller tracer around and it's easier for me to see where it's going.
Yeah, which was an advantage of the carbine.
Exactly.
That I always thought.
Exactly.
I prefer the Needle Rifle because I can pull the trigger once and just let it rip.
And a lot quicker, that's right. Yeah.
Now, what about the plasma repeater versus the plasma rifle?
Plasma rifle.
Plasma repeater looks awesome.
It does.
Now, it looks awesome.
Well settled.
I always kind of felt like, you know how in Halo 2 they brought out the Brute Plasma Rifle as sort of a last-minute Brute Plasma weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I always thought to diverse the plasma repeater a little bit, they should have, first of all, given it red projectiles.
Yeah,
and then made it
stronger.
Brute exclusive instead of having the elites have it too. But instead, you've got the elites that have both that and the plasma rifle, and I didn't really understand that. Then you've got the Brutes over here, which are supposed to be separatists later. Or I should say Rise to Power. It's the elites that separate.
I did think the repeater, just in general, was a curious addition. It was almost like they had a design that they wanted the plasma rifle to have always looked like.
Yeah.
But they knew that we would have pitched an absolute fit that it didn't look like it. So they're like, just kidding, that's a new weapon.
It kind of reminded me of the Spectre,
If you guys remember, in one of the early Vidocs, describe again what Bungie had originally said about the plasma rifle and the bloom and accuracy effect.
The plasma repeater, it was originally stated, if I'm not mistaken, that as the plasma repeater heated, obviously the rate of fire would slow, but the accuracy would increase. The reticle would actually, kind of reverse bloom and get more accurate, which I actually thought was a fantastic idea. I was really a fan of that. Yeah, and then you could vent it and get your rate of fire back and, lose the accuracy bonus, but obviously, when it shipped, it obviously got less and less accurate and slowed down as it fired, so, and the vent was kind of a long reload.
I never remembered to vent that thing. I am trained to see when I see the plasma, stop. Plasma, 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 stop. It was still kind of a foreign concept, which maybe, I don't know, it's kind of sad that I was, I conditioned myself on an imaginary weapon. But that when you saw that, you didn't do it. So, yeah, I never...
I didn't really understand
it a lot, and it's
repeater.
So cool looking.
Yeah,
so cool.
I pretty much stick to projectile weapons. Doesn't matter, human or covenant. I just like damage. I like to kill.
I did find the plasma repeater great in campaign. as far as taking shields down for for covenant and stuff.
See, it was okay, but at the same time, you had the plasma pistol, which is superior to it. So and it's more readily available as well. So if you've got a choice between the two. So I kind of look at it again with the redundant weapons. Why choose the plasma repeater when you have at least two other weapons on the battlefield that are superior to it?
Right.
I will say this. I would rather have redundant weapons that flesh out a little bit of the richness of the universe and cause some more immersion than not enough. Goodness, our own military has a ton of redundant weapons. I mean, human race has a ton of redundant weapons, if you really want to think about it. But that's the way the real world works. I would imagine that in this, in the other real world, it just hasn't happened yet.
The other one, though.
Yes.
The real world yet to be.
Yeah. That you are going to have some redundancy, especially when you're including Covenant weapons it's not redundant to themselves. So, but it adds a richness and a flavor to it that I think still, again, makes Halo. You end up with other shooters when they're wanting to just do a niche and be like, okay, here's the column, that weapon's for that, that one's for that, that one's for that, and that one's for that. You know, you don't get that feeling and that, you know, you don't get the color, both literally and figuratively, that the Halo weapon sandbox brings to it.
Think of the audiences too. I mean, for example, look at Halo 2 between the beam rifle and the sniper rifle. That there are a lot of casual gamers out there who think, "Oh, I like the beam rifle because I like the sound of it." And
yeah,
it's not a bad thing to carry.
And it's pretty. That's a great point. That's a great point.
And see, for me, I never wanted to use the beam rifle because you could track it. Sniper rifle, it was a lot harder.
It took the night vision out. That was the worst.
I don't use a focus rifle because it works for everyone else.
I can't. So what you're saying is you're a strictly plasma pistol guy online. That's all
and
you
rocks.
Do, man. That's right.
Yeah. You guys haven't found that bug.
Chasing over the cliff.
Yeah, that's actually the best weapon I have is a rock. Or hiding. Active camo is a good weapon.
Under the rock.
Yeah.
In the water.
That's what it is. I tend to run behind people who are awesome.
So I want to know what you guys thought about the Halo 4 trailer, or the Halo 4 panel that we have today. Because I know what I think, but I don't know if I can go.
I stood up with Jess, right? I came back from the panel, and I caught that trailer at the end, and I told her, I haven't been this excited for a Halo game since Halo 1, and I actually had goosebumps, and that doesn't happen very often. That to me says, you know, they're in the right hands, or we're in the right hands with going forward. That's how I felt.
Yeah, I like what they said on the panel, but it was really kind of like their, I don't know what it is in gamers, right? But their quinceañera or whatever, their coming out party. They're, hey, look, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm an eligible lady or bachelor.
Well, I think that was just another reason why it was, you know, important to be out here this year and, you know, just attend it in general to see the changing of hands from Bungie to 343. And, you know, Bungie is, you know, the founder of the franchise. You know, they are the father of Halo, or the fathers of Halo. But, you know, it's good to see that it is being passed off into good hands, and I do have faith in 343 that they will carry the torch well.
And we're not just saying that because we're in their lounge.
Yeah, all surrounded by their employees.
And David Ellis is like right
looking
there
at us.
Always watching.
It's good to know.
Man, it is like being on a forum.
It's a live forum.
That actually was probably one of my favorite things about Halo Fest in general, was really being able to see and be reassured once again. I mean, as always, whenever I hear anything from 343, it's always a reassuring thing that, you know, they do seem to really get Halo. They seem to get us as a community. They seem to get the spirit of Halo. You know, it's the story, it's the game, it's all of it, you know, but in the right way. It's all in the right balance. And I'm really, really excited.
You know what,
very, very optimistic.
I find interesting, during the panel today, Frank O'Connor was saying, yeah, we have 200 employees that are all working on Halo 4, and 199 of them are there just to work on Halo.
Yeah, we said the same.
Who's the one?
Who's that other guy?
Are you saying it just for the money?
So, yeah, we were wondering the same thing. And I was like, David.
Love you, David.
David is in it for the money.
He just likes the introductions, man.
That's true. That's true. David loves his introductions.
But I really enjoyed the explosion video. Who wouldn't, right? When they
that was great.
They had this whole film and they showed how they were getting sounds for the game. There was like a potato cannon, or I don't know what it's called, potato gun.
Yeah.
They were like lighting stuff on fire. There's huge explosions. And what I like the best is that after the explosion, you could hear like the wind moving and the debris moving through the mic, and I'm like, ooh, that's eerie. Like, I got goosebumps and chills.
Well, have we heard any music that this new musical audio director is going to be putting out?
We heard some of the sound effects at the end of that.
That's, the sound effects are one thing. The musical score that goes with the game, which is a huge piece of what brought a lot of us in. I mean, is this guy going to be able to translate that same kind of vibe, that same kind of, you know.
I mean, it's weird because Marty's always been the one that's kind of centrally worked on the audio himself, and he has a small audio team. And where Halo's now has been developed by people who've actually worked on Halo in the past, right. Now we have a completely new audio guy, and we don't know his history with Halo.
The guy is damned either way. He's either going to cut it too close and be copying Marty, or he's going to be cutting it too close to his own style and veering from the franchise.
Well, I think it's more dangerous if he cuts it too close to Marty. I actually, he was, you know, we're not necessarily talking about the panels themselves, but the new audio director was the surprise highlight, I think, actually, of that panel for me.
I agree, because
the music is a big, big thing for me, and I hear that, and I'm a musician as well, and so, like, I love picking out not just the music from the experience, but every individual instrument from the music itself. And it was, you know, I've kept Marty's music very, very close to me over these past 10 years, and they've, in odd ways, become a soundtrack to my life. So it's kind of a scary thing at the same, you know, on the one hand that it's going to be changing over. But at the same time, he was nervous, and that made me excited. The fact that he was just like, I have to calm down, you know, you can see that he cares so much about this, and I hope he does his own thing. I think this new trilogy and the new direction for it needs a new feeling. So,
and of course, the new exclusive Halo 4 weapon, the potato gun.
Yeah, that is confirmed, actually. I think they need to add some good textures. But
as we did see, it did explode in one of the videos, so weapon backfires, I think, confirmed.
Yeah. So we got recoil.
That's the overheat mode.
Yeah. I think as long as he does it well, it won't matter that it's different.
So, it just agreed.
And he really emphasized on the panel that it's about the emotions. It's not about, yeah, you know, just the music. It's
and recording in space.
Yes.
Recording in space. It's about projecting emotion through that music, and I think that's something that Halo has always had. And I think if he's able to do that, then it won't be a problem at all.
And, you know, I think most of us have been a part of this community long enough to know that, you know, for Bungie and 343, no matter what they do, there's always going to be, you know, a group of people in the community that are just going to scream, "Oh, it's not the same." Oh,
MLG.
No, it's the Timmy.
But you know what? They're going to do that. They're going to do that about anything, whether it's 343, you know, a juxtaposition with Bungie, or Halo 1 versus Halo 2 versus Halo 3. So
BXR,
BXR's got it.
Yeah.
Okay. We have a couple more minutes here. I just want to go through everyone real quick. Aside from the big ones, aka Rooster Teeth, the Halo Universe, and the Halo 4 panel, what other one do you think was kind of the most impactful to the Halo community?
Rooster Teeth. Wait, I'm sorry.
I said no Rooster Teeth, no Halo 4.
And good at this, Tyrant.
This damn podcast.
No Halo Universe.
This podcast, best thing at Halo Fest.
Well, we know those were the big ones, so I want to see all the other smaller ones that were presented. What do you guys think was probably the most?
Well, I think the first one that, you know, popped up Friday, you know. Yes.
Yeah, there was one before ours.
No.
Oh, I thought there was.
No, you guys were the first.
There was a Halo panel, but it wasn't in Halo Fest.
To me, I actually thought that was the Halo panel. I didn't even know there were any others. That was the only one I heard about. And so, you know, that was packed,
too. You're too kind.
Please keep talking. We like hearing it.
The community panel and the fiction panel, for completely different reasons. They're tough to compare. So, the fiction panel for selfish personal reasons, and then the community panel for the real, tangible reasons as far as why I love the franchise.
Yeah.
So. I thought 3D Halo was pretty bitchin'.
Yeah,
can I say that?
You already said it. No, you can't unsay it right now.
There was a lineup always. Like, it just, you couldn't get in after, like, Friday. Once people found out 3D Halo was set up, that was it.
I think our group was a little bit spoiled because at the end of our 3D show, Frank O'Connor walked right in there.
Did that? Yeah, that was awesome.
I was really a big fan of the author panel, Karen Travis, Greg Baer, and all that.
The fiction panel?
Yeah, that fiction panel.
For me, the panels were really cool, and I really enjoyed all of those, but I think for me, just seeing the community's response when the little things would happen, the voice actors being around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pete Stacker was, for me, the highlight of this entire thing.
Him and 343.
We don't have enough time for that. Yeah.
but it's those little things that when I'm standing back, you know, I'm here for my own reasons, but when I'm standing back and I see those things happen and it really lifts the people around them, that was really cool.
The approachability of the
clearly they love what they do and they love their fans. So and that makes them all the more admirable.
Right. Okay, well we're pretty much out of time. you're probably going to hear most of these people back on in about 2 weeks when we do part two of our anniversary. Real quick, for our live viewers, we have a code for a Cortana prop. I'm going to read that out real quick.
Wait, hold on. Let me pull up my redeem code page.
M6VHM. Y26QV P4PW94KF47 XQVGZ.
Initiate
question
launch.
Mark, question mark. Question mark. Or an MZ for you. Or an X or S.
You should have gone like, you know, Alpha Foxtrot, X-ray.
Yeah, I don't
know
all those off the top of my head.
You should have, he would have done it.
Allow me.
Yeah.
You want to do it?
Absolutely. We'll give it a shot.
They've
here.
Already put the code in now.
Well, they just figure it out. We'll give it that one more time.
Oh, these are all the hard ones.
Yeah, let's more do it.
Motel 6, Victor, Hotel. Oh, no. Never mind.
Oh, man.
Restart.
Here we go.
Okay. So we got Mike 6, Victor, Hotel Mike, Yankee 2, 6, Quebec Victor, Papa 4, Papa Whiskey 9, 4, Kilo Foxtrot 4, 7, X-ray Quebec Victor Golf Zulu.
For you. Yeah, four.
Lovely.
Very nice. Initiate launch.
Very nice.
Quebec. Quebec.
Quebec. Six, yeah.
Sorry, Quebec.
Was that a V and an H or just a B?
It was a B. Okay.
This reminds me of whenever Grim One tries to read me phonetic alphabet letters. But kids show, so we're not going to.
He is for pony.
For those that listen live, thank you very much.
Yes.
For those that watch the event, thank you for watching. For those that were here, we hope we saw you at some point, and we hope that you saw us and that you came and said hi.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Please don't see us and just watch us and follow us and not say hi.
Yeah.
We'll notice.
Yes. It makes us sad, too.
I don't want to have to fill out another restraining order.
Sorry.
Goose. No, yeah. Okay. And panel.
And that's it. Thanks, guys, again.
Bye.
And look for in 2 weeks, we're going to have everyone back doing the whole live thing again.
Sure.
So
awesome. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, 343 Industries.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, David. We love you.